Good morning. I'm going to start reading here out of John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now it's talking of John the Baptist, who came to testify or witness, be a witness for Jesus. And it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, yet his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh. That little baby we see in the manger there that we celebrate during Christmas time. A little infant baby was God in the flesh, the Word of God made flesh. The reality of that really is so amazing. I think we'll never fully understand the depths God had to humble himself, what he had to give up. Being God, being the Creator, being the one who spoke everything to existence, being the one who dwelt in eternity, to come down as a little infant at the hands, or to be cared for at the hands of his creation, who were utterly, utterly flawed. He entrusted himself to mankind. He became a servant, a foot washer of mankind. And he ultimately died on a cross for our sins, because he was innocent. His whole life on earth, from that moment he was born till the day he died, was perfect. He never sinned. He never had a sinful thought. He was pure, he was holy, and he was the perfect sacrifice when it came time for him to die for our sins. That's who this is talking about. God coming in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full. And John bore witness of him, and he cried out, and he said, this is who I said was coming. He who comes after me, who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus said when he was here walking on the earth, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hebrews says he was the express image of the Father. Everything he said, everything he did. He said, I can't do anything unless it's the Father who does it through me. It was as if God took his heart. It says he was in the bosom of the Father. It says God the Father took his heart and ripped it out for mankind and put it on display through Jesus Christ. And really the ultimate picture of God and who he is when Jesus is hanging on the cross and he cries out, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. That's God's heart. Pure love. Absolutely no thought of himself, only thinking of you as he's dying on the cross for your sin, for my sin. Understanding, pitying us, understanding our frame, understanding that we're just dust. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. He understands that. We don't. We live as though we have eternity here on earth. We live our lives like this is it. But God understands that our life is a vapor. And those people in the Philippines, something like that reminds me of that story I read this morning. Shopping in a mall for Christmas. This happened this morning in the Philippines. And a fire breaks out and 30 people die on the fourth floor of this mall. Now they're in eternity, which will go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And now they realize how insignificant their lives were in this world. A speck in eternity. And for those that didn't embrace what Jesus did on the cross for them, the gnawing worm that will never die will be, I'm ruined for eternity. I'm lost for all eternity. There's no way for me to ever be reconciled to God. And now I suffer in utter darkness and torment, and it's never going to end. And those cries go up every day. And God understands that. That's why he went to the lengths he went to. That's why, even to this day, because he is alive, he pleads with mankind to come to him, to repent of your sinful ways, to acknowledge what you are, but also who he is, and take freely what he's done for you. Because it's by grace we're saved. It's nothing of our own merits or anything we can do. It's by grace you're saved. It's pure mercy. It's the pure mercy of God that he remembers our frame. He remembers we're dust and he pities us. I know he pitied me, for sure. Jesus' whole mission, people, to this world was to give life and light. That's why he came. Because the world was in darkness. It's still in darkness, but there is light. And that light started 2,000 years ago when Jesus came in the form of a little baby. Grew up, lived here for 33 years, and died on a cross for you and I. But that light continues. It didn't end when he dies, because Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus rose from the grave, which basically said, I am who I said I am. Nobody else can say that. Buddha can't say that. Muhammad can't say that. All the thousands and thousands of gods people worship out there cannot say that. They're dead. But he's alive. He is alive. He's at the right hand of the Father. And he's given his Holy Spirit to those who have put their faith in him. And he actually lives and dwells in the person of the Holy Spirit inside of people who are just clay we're just like this here, you know, in reality. We're just a vessel that holds stuff. That's all we are. You understand that? The problem is we try filling ourselves with all the wrong things, and we think somehow it's going to produce what only God can produce, which is life, real life. The things of this world will give you temporary satisfaction, temporary joy even maybe, seasons of fun, seasons maybe of peace, but in the end, it only produces one thing, death. Because there's nothing in this world that can give you life. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. And when we repent, when we put our faith in what He did, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and because He's gone away and He's in heaven, He fills our vessels with His life-giving Spirit. And He said, the illustration was, it'll become like a spring of living water that flows out of your heart. So, you know, the vessel, not that important. The water inside, it's good. It's life. If I don't drink this, after about 3 or 4 days, I'm in trouble. So in the natural, this water keeps me alive. But really, in the spiritual, Jesus keeps me alive. And His water lives in me. And for all eternity, that water is going to overflow out of my heart because He dwells in me. And in eternity, when I see Jesus, it's going to be full. When I see Him as He is, and I totally become like Him, and I'm just caught up in Him, it's almost like we'll just finally mesh together and I'll become what I was created for. I'll be absolutely one with my Creator, and I'll understand more fully than I do now what true joy is, what true peace is. Because that's the only place you will find it. Because you were made for Him. And God remembers that. We forget. To this day, I still forget. I still go to broken cisterns that can't hold water. I forget. But God is always there reminding me. He's what I need. He is my life. He was speaking in Matthew when he was here in the flesh to religious people. If you want to turn to our text this morning, really it's Matthew 5. I think what I want to call my message today is don't lose your flavor. Okay? Don't lose your flavor. Some of you know the verse now I'm talking. Don't lose your flavor. There was a lot of religious people in Jesus' day who had an outward form of religion. It looked good on the outside, but it had no flavor. It couldn't give life. And Jesus, speaking to the religious, but also those who were also listening, who had believed in Him, said this to the crowd as He preached this sermon. A 3-day sermon, by the way. You know, we're like after an hour. Come on, Pastor. This was 3 days. All right. I guess I should turn there. Well, let me just read here. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, there it is, how shall it be seasoned? It's good for nothing then to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. You don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and then it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine. Have flavor in yourself. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that they may glorify your Father in heaven. So I just want to look at these verses this morning, because we're all going to be going to visit our families in a little while. Don't lose your flavor. I was thinking back on Christmases before I really knew the Lord. And inevitably, when our family gathered for Christmas, inevitably by the end of the night, there was a fight. I remember one time, they literally came rolling down the stairs. Let's not lose our flavor, okay? Our families, the people out there that we encounter this Christmas season. You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its flavor, how will it be seasoned? It's not good for anything but to be thrown and trampled underfoot by men. When Jesus says that, really, what he's saying is, you have received grace. Do you understand the grace you have received? The salt is the grace of God, because the grace of God is what preserves His saints, and that's what salt does. You know how important salt is to civilization? If you ever, I just encourage you, look up the history of salt. It's really important. In some cultures, actually, the monetary system was salt, because it was so valuable, because it enabled them to preserve food. They didn't have to depend on the seasons. They could preserve food for a long time, and then they could even travel. How do you think they crossed oceans? They had to have salt to preserve the food. So it was very important to civilization, even to this day. Salt is very important. So Jesus is using this illustration of salt. But sometimes salt, if it's left out in the sun, there's something about that that after a while it loses its flavor. It still looks like salt, but what it's really intended for doesn't work anymore. So Jesus is saying, don't just look like salt, be salt. Don't lose your flavor. Don't lose your flavor. You see, the world around us is sinking into corruption. It's decaying. It needs salt. People need salt. Society is collapsing. Families are being corroded by immorality, by self-indulgence. We see it all around us. We see it right here in our community. We are supposed to be the salt that comes and preserves and gives life. God has sent us. He said, now you go. You be the salt. You be the light. I came. I came as that light. I've gone back to the Father, but I've given you my Holy Spirit. And I want you to go. I want you to be salt. I want you to be light to a lost and dying world. That's the call. That's the mission of the church. Not to sit in a church building every Sunday morning and, you know, just get what I need for the day or the week and go home and just live my life like everybody else. No, we're here to be salt and light. If we understand the grace that God has given to us, bestowed upon us, I don't ever want to forget the mercy God's had on my life. It would be right for me to be in hell right now. I would deserve it. But God had mercy on me when I was His enemy. That's the grace of God. Verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Verse 15, he says, you don't light a lamp, you don't put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, then it gives light to everyone
who's in the house.
Let your light shine before men,
that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
We should always, our life should always be pointing people to Jesus.
It should never be about us.
Jesus was always pointing people to the Father. He came to glorify the Father.
Listen to what Hebrews says about Jesus. Hebrews 10. I'll start in verse 5 here. This is Jesus fulfilling the will of God. It says, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire." In other words, the old system of the law that was outward, God's not looking for that. He says, "But a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. And then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God." And then it says in verse 9, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. A body you have prepared for me. You are his body now. Your body is prepared by God. If you have put your faith in Christ, the Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You've been purchased by God with a price. You're not your own anymore. And God's Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you, and God's intent is to live his life through you, to manifest his life and light to those around you. And our response to that should be Jesus' response. "Lord, my life, it's been written in a book in heaven. You have a plan for my life. Lord, you've given me a body that I can move in, I can speak with, I can see with, I can hear. And it's all for your glory, God. I understand now, Lord, that my purpose while I'm here is to glorify you. My life is to point people to you and the wonder of who you are and to be a witness for you. That's my whole purpose. So God, take my life. I'm just a vessel anyway. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, have your way in my life, God. Let me decrease so you can increase, Lord. Let people see you and not me. Because I remember when that happened for me. When I saw you in people. When I heard you in people. When I was touched by you in people." You understand that? There was people God put in my life when I was lost that loved me. And it wasn't them, it was Christ in them. My wife understands me a little bit. And if I don't have the Holy Spirit, everybody's in trouble. I'm serious. I don't know how to love people. Especially when I understand his love. Because we think we do pretty good. But really, on our best days, we're putting up with people. God never puts up with people. He bears them, and he does it joyfully. With joy. Because he loves people. Even the worst people. The rebellious. He loves them. That's why he came. Even when we trample him over and over. I did that as a professing believer. I trampled on his grace, which, by the way, is a very dangerous thing to do. I would not encourage you to do that. trample the grace of God underfoot. I would not encourage you to do that. But I did. I did. And there's a warning in Scripture about that. Because you could be destroyed without mercy. But God, somehow, through people, prayed for me, for me, was long-suffering with me, was kind with me when I didn't deserve it, and waited until I was ready to come. And when I finally did come, I got nothing but love and mercy. I got no finger pointed in my face. I got no crossed arms. I was wondering when you'd finally come to me. Because that's how I would be. But he just loved me. He just put his arms around me. And heaven threw a party for me. Heaven throws a party for you when you come to God. God is love. So he's saying here, so let that light, if you understand that, just let that light, that knowledge of God shine. When you're in a room where it's dark, you're out there, it's dark, let your light shine. Let God's love come out of your mouth. Let it be in your look when you look at somebody. Instead of, you know, it's the opposite of a face of grace, which God had. Jesus had a face of grace. That sinners, even though they sensed his holiness, were undone around him, sensed their sinfulness, yet when they looked in his eyes, they knew, I'm welcome here. The woman who was a sinner that the Pharisees were looking at a little different than Jesus was, because they were religious. We get that sometimes in church, you know. Oh, who's that? God says, oh, I'm so glad you came. I've been waiting for you. Let me help you. I just want to help you. I've heard so many stories that grieve me of people getting a wrong picture of who God is because of religion. Church people. I don't want to be church people. I want to be Jesus. I want his light to shine. I want to hide it. No matter how dark the place is, no matter how dark a person is. Because actually, that's what he's drawn to. See, we're not drawn to that in the natural. He's drawn to it. The worst of the worst, that's who he's drawn to. Because he came for sinners. He didn't come for the righteous. For sinners. So our desire as Christians should be to draw others by our example to the true light, Jesus, who gives light to the world. So I want to just share four things with us as I'm closing here. Our Christian testimony, if you have a testimony in Christ today, we celebrate Christmas, if you understand what God has done for you, it cannot and should not be concealed. Okay? So don't do that when you go out of this place. Because where it's not manifested in someone's life, it probably doesn't exist. So you need to examine yourself if that's not so. And that's okay, because you can change that around today if you're not sure. simple. I'll get to that in a minute. But if you are professing to know Jesus, if you have a knowledge and experience of His mercy and grace, how can we betray that knowledge and testimony? We can't. But we do give evidence to that to those around us. And lastly, if we try to conceal or hide our Christian knowledge or experience, we injure Christ. Again, I don't want to do that. That's why it grieves me, I think. And I believe it grieves God and His children that love one another. Because, you know, He said it's by your love for one another that people are going to know. And the problem is, the world looks, the unsaved looks, and they don't see love, they don't see God. And they get a wrong picture of who God is. And that's one thing that, I guess, not scares me, but I guess would grieve me, upset me the most, is that I would somehow give someone the wrong idea of who God really is because of a flaw in me or a way I handled something, or something I said. And I've done it. And afterwards, you're like, man, Lord, I did not represent you properly. God forgive me. And I've had that times call a person, go up to them and say, you know what? Hey, what I said, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. You know what? That wasn't right. Jesus wouldn't speak that way. Jesus wouldn't do that. And I should have been sorry. That's okay. I remember I was in when I was training for counseling, which sometimes in those circles it kind of get rigid, where it's almost the Bible comes like a textbook, and okay, you got this problem, here's the scripture, this is what you do, whatever. And, you know, you got to be all professional. And the teacher was talking about, you know, you're in your counseling session or whatever, and let's say you say something wrong to the counselee, and then after the counseling session you realize it, and now next week you got to meet with them. What would you do? That was the question to the class. And everyone's like, well, you don't tell them you made a mistake because they need to know that you know what you're doing and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting and I'm like, I don't know. I'm thinking like, what have I've had to do so many times in counseling? I'm like, so I raised my hand. I was like, well, I'd probably tell them, you know what? What I told you last week was totally wrong and I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. And the whole class was like, oh, no, you never do that. I was like, really? I used to love sitting across from a guy and he'd put his head down and like, man, I don't know what's wrong with me, these thoughts in my mind. And I'm like, really? Yeah, you think those are bad? Man, I get crazy. They're like, yeah, sometimes when I'm up in the platform at church, these crazy thoughts come in my mind. They're like, really? Yeah. That's reality. But I turn to God and I realize, God, I need you. Look, Lord, I'm flawed, but Jesus, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to live that way anymore, even though my flesh still thinks wrong and will never think right. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that I can yield to you and I don't have to act on my sick, fallen mind, but I can choose to yield to you and then you can love through me and speak through me and reveal yourself through me. It really is simple. But you just gotta acknowledge it. And it's okay. God knows anyway. He still loves you with all your flaws. Listen, if God used perfect people, we'd be in trouble. He uses broken vessels. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, God, who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Has he done that for you? Do you know who he is? Has he revealed himself to you? Have you embraced the reality of what Jesus did for you on the cross? Where he died for your sins? Have you put your faith in him alone and allowed him to cleanse you from all your sin that you've ever committed? Because his promise is if you confess your sin and you put your faith in him, he will make you whiter than snow. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then as you make him Lord and Savior of your life and you say, God, I don't want to be this way anymore, Lord. I want to be a light. I need your light. I need your life inside of me, God. I'm tired of feeling dead. I'm tired, Lord, of running after things only to find it empty and unsatisfying. God, I am acknowledging today. I need you. I need what you do for me. I want you to come into my life. If there's anyone here today, it's Christmas. We're celebrating. We're spending time with families. We're giving gifts. But really, the reality is Christmas is a lot more than that. It's about the light that's coming to the world. And if you sense you haven't known that light, that knowledge of God, who He is, I want to invite you this morning to come to Him. Because He's here today. And He knows who you are. And He loves you. He wants to reveal himself to you, but you got to put your faith in him. You got to turn to him. So if there's anybody here this morning, Lord, I hear you today. I need you today, Lord, and I want to give my life to you. I need what you did on the cross. So anybody here, just put your hand up. Just raise your hand up. I need you, Jesus. I want to know you today, Lord. I want to put my faith in you. Okay, for those of us then who understand, let's make a commitment to him, okay? That when we leave this place, we're going to allow God's light to manifest in our lives. Let your life shine and manifest Christ to others. That is our calling if we profess to know Christ. As I look around, as I read that story this morning, all the tragedies that are happening right now all over the world, right here in our community. Every time I hear an ambulance go by, I know it's probably someone overdosing, someone's possibly dying at that moment. They go by my office all the time, and it's constant all day. Josh has a good handle on that. He works at the post up there. Every moment, there's a tragedy happening all around. Like we said earlier, lives can be instantly lost. So many suffering, so many right now in despair. They're despairing even to the point of suicide. Right now, young people. We had a 12-year-old boy Friday night that was on suicide watch. 12 years old. Because his father committed suicide. Constantly reminded of that. 12 years old. How many more stories like that? How many suffering in silence? But yet God sees them and God wants to use your life. Because if His Holy Spirit dwells in you, He will lead you, He will guide you, He will send you to be a light to those in darkness. So I realize, and you need to realize, that God has given you personal calling. Salt and to be light. So don't lose your flavor this Christmas season. Don't lose it from now on. Forget about just Christmas. all of us who are called to profess the name of Jesus need to go out this Christmas season and proclaim Jesus. Amen? All right. Lord, I thank you this morning for coming into my life. Thank you, Lord, that when I was in darkness, that marvelous light somehow shone in my heart. Lord, you had mercy on me. I know there's many here, God, and understand the grace that has been given to them. But Lord, you didn't give it to us to just keep to ourselves. You gave it so we can go. You gave it, Lord, so we can be a light, so we can be salt in a lost, dying world. Lord, so I pray as we go from this place, we would go first of all with grateful, thankful hearts for what you've done for us, because we can rejoice in that, Lord. I am so happy this morning, Lord, when I think about what you've done for me personally. And I love you, and I'm grateful, Lord. I pray that that would be real to each of us, Lord, this Christmas. We wouldn't get so caught up in the presents and the visiting and just the stress sometimes. But Lord, that reality would be at the center of our beings, Lord. And when we get around people, that light would burst forth out of us in whatever way you choose, Lord. So God, help us to be open to you, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, so that we could be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name.